views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
So we say, we always say the Black Panther Party that they can do anything they want to do. We might not be back, I might be in jail, I might be anywhere. But when I leave, you remember I said with the last words on my lips, I am a revolutionary.
Revolution comes with a price tag. You a slave to a flag in a country that clearly doesn't love you when they probably never have told you turn the other cheek. And they met it with a bat, fucking protesting them citizens. Told you go fight in the war, Vietnam, you died good riddance. The man of the house rule took you from your siblings. Turned around a pump crack right up in your city. And they just turned all your leaders to martyrs. You was off in the war, now who was guarding your daughters? It was riots in the streets, killed Malcolm and Martin. Called the National Guard up because we ride with our guard up. And that was blood in your guard. The Second Amendment don't apply to you. Everything that they taught you was a lie to you. See, they scared of your skin and they dying to shoot. Take the American dream and then you die to pursue.
One day it'll all make sense. If it ain't about power, then it don't make sense. But none of that money matters when you live in madness. The one that you figure out that all you got is this. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger. Right on. Peace, love, and the middle finger.
Good afternoon and welcome to Black Talk Radio News. My name is Scotty Reed. I'm broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc. Today's date is September the 28th, 2015. This year that they call 2015 has just really gone by fast. I mean, it's only like, what, about three or four more months left in 2015, and then we'll be going into 2016, and the USA will be looking to elect another CEO of America. And so, yeah, this year just has really gone by fast. So greetings to you. I hope that my voice finds you safe and sound. Hope that all your loved ones are safe and sound. And if they are not, if they are victim of this system, man, we got to figure it out. We got to figure it out. We got to figure out how to free the land, as the revolutionaries say. Free the land. Today, I want to talk about, speaking of this land, before I get to that, I got some disturbing news to share. You heard the clip, Major Die, Yasin Bey, Mike Flo, and Killer Mike, I think it was. Anyway, in that track that came on before we came on air, and they were talking about George Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin. And I read some disturbing news today on social media. And George Zimmerman retweeted a picture of Trayvon Martin's dead body. This happened in the past 2 days, might have been yesterday. Somebody who follows him, worships George Zimmerman as a killer of black children, they tweeted Trayvon Martin's dead body to him, like, you know, like a trophy or something. We've heard this about cops who, I think that was, might have been in California. I could be incorrect about the location, but they would take pictures of dead bodies and trade them like trading cards. I think this was like in Los Angeles. I could be incorrect. It was either Los Angeles or San Francisco. So, this worshiper of child killers tweeted Trayvon Martin's dead body at George Zimmerman, and he retweeted it. Now tell me this guy ain't a sociopath. Obviously he's a murderer, and he thinks that, you know, it's cool. It's cool to retweet the dead body of your victim. No remorse whatsoever. Of course, in his interview that he did with Fox News, I believe with Fox News, might have been ABC News, he said he had no regrets about killing Trayvon Martin. So obviously, several years later, he still feels the same. And not only does he feel the same about having no regrets, he is proud. He retweeted, you know, his trophy, just like we see people on Facebook and other social media, Instagram and whatnot. They go to Africa and they hunt down exotic animals like Cecil the lion and others. And they post their pictures, their trophy pictures on Facebook and other social media, them taking pictures with their prey. And so that's how I'm viewing how this obviously is how George Zimmerman views this, and a whole lot of other people too. A whole lot of other people. This is a sick society that we live in, people. And that was some disturbing bit of news. George Zimmerman needs to be somewhere off where he isn't a threat to society at large, because this guy is a threat. If I was to come across George Zimmerman, I said this before in the past, if I was to come across George Zimmerman, I would be in fear for my life. And so there is no telling what would happen. One of us might not come out of that meeting alive, but I would sincerely, I'm not just saying this to say this, I would be in fear for my life, because he got them creepy little eyes anyway. You know what I'm saying? He got the eyes of a killer, man, of a psychopath. And, you know, if I was to come across him in a convenience store and he was looking at me with them creepy eyes and eyes of a killer, like I'm his prey or something, you know. And if he makes furtive movements, like going for, you know, a gun or something like that, I would reasonably be in fear for my life, given, you know, the fact that he killed a child and had no remorse about it whatsoever. And now he's retweeting the dead body of that child on Twitter. So if y'all are out there and you live wherever George Zimmerman is living these days, or you happen to come across him, be warned, especially if you're a person of color, a non-white person, a black person, primarily a black young teenager. You know, you should be in fear for your life, because this is obviously a sick individual. The telephone number to get in on today's broadcast will be on air for an hour as I continue to work on the knowledge base for Black Talk Radio Network. Again, as I've said over the air here recently, you know, people send me emails, how do I get on Black Talk Radio, this and that. And it's not as easy as, you know, you just sign up on a website, you register, and then, you know, everything is done automatically for you. There's some manual work involved. And because of that, and it's not a whole lot of work, so I created this knowledge base website. I had one called Black Talk Media Project, but it needed to be updated. But I was like, let me just build a website, a help website, with tutorials and stuff specifically tied to Black Talk Radio Network. Then that way, when people ask, how can I get on Black Talk Radio, I can point them to that. First, you got to be able to do the technical stuff and all of that and whatnot. But we also do not, we are a nonprofit organization. Black Talk Radio Network is run by a nonprofit organization, Black Talk Media Project, with the specific intent of elevating black voices. So you do got to be black. You got to be non-white. The services that we will offer will be heavily discounted in comparison to the current market rate for podcast hosting and all that kind of stuff. And you know, unlimited podcast hosting is what we're going to offer, unlimited uploads and whatnot. And so that we are, because we are a nonprofit and we do have donors, we need more donors, but because we have donors, we can then subsidize and make it easier for organizations and individuals to launch a podcast, launch an internet radio stream, run a digital radio station, distribute their content through the Black Talk Radio Network, as well as through all the other platforms like Stitcher, iTunes, your own websites and blogs. So I'm only going to be on for an hour. Got to continue to get that work completed. The work will never be completed, because I imagine I'll be doing updates as I come across new software, because there's all kind of information, you free software, how to use it, things of that nature. So we hope that people take advantage of that. And so that's knowledgebase.blacktalkradionetwork.com. You'll also see it in the main menu on blacktalkradionetwork.com, BTRN, knowledge base. Just click on that. It's enough up information up. Tutorials, videos for people to get started, whether they want a podcast or broadcast or do both. If you broadcast, obviously, you know, you're producing the podcast as well. Some people may not want to do live streaming and just, you know, record their stuff, pre-record it, and then upload it to the network. So, yeah, working on that. Excited about that. Now, today I titled, I'm only going to be on air for an hour. I can rant for an hour because certainly there is enough things out there for me to complain about. May not be happening to me personally, but I have empathy for other people. But then there are things that are happening to me personally, or I could become a victim of at any moment. So might as well fight now, you know, instead of waiting until I'm in chains and then trying to break out or whatnot. So plenty of things to talk about today. But I want to focus on the implicit bias of Pope Francis. You know, he's been on his USA tour, been traveling around the different states. I'm not sure if he's still in Philadelphia or not, in the state of Pennsylvania. I was watching CNN and, of course, mainstream media, wall-to-wall coverage for days now, for days. I can understand why, you know, y'all would devote that much coverage, considering how he is looked up to by so many of your viewers and whatnot, you know, white people and stuff. So I understand why you want to devote coverage, because it's a national interest or religious interest, culture or whatever. Okay, but y'all could have got in a little bit more news, and especially some news about the Justice or Else Act 2015 that would abolish private prisons and jails, which I still have not seen any feature story, any segments or on that bill. But a lot of wall-to-wall coverage of Pope Francis yesterday. I think it was yesterday I saw it, or the day before yesterday. He was in Philadelphia. He visited a prison in Pennsylvania. When he was at this prison, Jake Tapper, I was watching CNN at the time. They had like him and two other commentators commentating as they show Pope Francis, you know, video of Pope Francis visiting people in the back and greeting people and whatnot. And he was in his jail, and his main message that I could take away from it was that, you know, people aren't, you can't just throw away people, and everybody deserves redemption and this and that, and, you know, all the things that a lot of people that are involved in criminal justice reform have been saying. You know, the people that want to get rid of the box on employment applications, they ask you if you're a felon. Some people want to reform the sentencing guidelines. I want to abolish all the laws for victimless nonviolent crimes. I don't want to reform them. I want to abolish them all. But, you know, that's the reason why we have mass incarceration, a.k.a. modern slavery, through these laws. Not the reason why, but the mechanism by which they created the world's largest prison slave labor force in America. So, but he never touched upon any of those things. And I even tweeted at him and Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton sent out a tweet at the POTUS. So I tweeted her and the POTUS saying, you know, POTUS, tell Hillary Clinton to fire those private prison lobbyists raising money for her campaign and whatnot. And so, but, no, I'm not seeing. I didn't hear anything like that in terms of you visiting a country, a corporation nation, and it leads the world in incarcerating human beings, in enslaving human beings. And again, if this wasn't such a huge problem, you wouldn't have major legislation being proposed to eliminate the private prison industry, as well as restore the federal parole system. And so you a Pope, you supposed to know about the people, that the issues facing the poor and the masses of the people in the countries that you visit. And you don't, you know, you don't say anything about mass incarceration as you stand in a prison. You know, just not that long ago, we heard about President Obama being the first president to visit the inside of a prison and whatnot. And, you know, he has spoken about these criminal justice issues, maybe not in strong language like I would like and whatnot. And, you know, he pretty much pushing that reform stuff. He's trying to reform slavery, and he's not really trying to abolish it. But, you know, if I can just free some one person by whatever legislation, I'm down for that. If I can help it so that they don't hold these human beings in bondage for so long, you know, like 20 years for a nonviolent crime and we can get it down to 5. That's still not justice, but, you know, at least that person ain't facing life in prison for a nonviolent victimless crime. So why, you know, I have to question, you know, is the Pope not concerned about slavery? I would have to say he doesn't appear to be. Now, one of the things I saw today, and it's actually been reported for a couple of days, and I didn't see this being talked about during the time that I was watching cable news. You have indigenous folks, Native Americans, American Indians, whatever you want to call them, different tribes, but you had the descendants of indigenous people, mostly in the area known as California, the state of California. They were protesting the Pope's decision to saint a devil that they say is responsible for genocide among the other atrocities that he facilitated in service to the Catholic Church, converting savages to the Catholic faith. And a lot of his crimes occurred during the 1800s. And so this is supposed to be the first time that an official, a priest or missionary of the Catholic Church has been canonized, is what they call it when they turn them into saints, and, you know, Saint Peter, Saint whatever. Yeah, titles reserved for mostly white males. But yeah, and so this is the first time one has been canonized or given sainthood by the Catholic Church here in USA Inc. And this guy, you know, it just shows to me the Pope and the Catholic Church continued implicit bias, and non-white life does not matter to them. Because how could you ignore, you know, the crimes against humanity committed against indigenous people in the colonization of this land? We're talking genocide. Of course, if you committing genocide, if you mass slaughtering huge numbers of people, all right, like they were cattle or something, or like you did the buffalo, shooting at them from trains. That's why the buffalo numbers is, you know, just it's like you hunting animals as far as you're concerned. But you having sex with them, you know, you hunting down these savages, you raping them, you stealing their resources. You know, this is what these people did. This is what this so-called, I'm not going to call him a saint. His name is Junipero Serra, I believe is how you pronounce his name. So he might be a Spanish nationality from Spain or somewhere like that. I've talked about in the past how the Spanish were the first to push into this continent, this continental body of landmass, and right here in the North Carolina, not far from where I am, where they first came in contact with different tribes, members of the Mississippian nation that was here before USA Inc. And how those Spanish soldiers got slaughtered. They got slaughtered. And then that's when the so-called pilgrims landed what was that, Jamestown in Virginia. And the British were able to establish a colony. But Europeans first landed here in America. It was the Spanish. It was the Spanish. So this guy, his name, Junipero Serra, I would imagine that, you know, he probably was from a Spanish order of the Catholic Church or something. But he came here to the continent known as America, and with the California, and they were supposed to be converting these American Indians to Catholicism. And if they didn't convert, they kill them. I mean, does that sound familiar? We hear so much from these Christian conservatives, and they talk about radical Islam and cutting off heads, and, you know, the pictures and stuff being shared on social media, and people saying all Muslims should condemn, you know, the beheadings, and but they ain't condemning the beheadings that's going on in Saudi Arabia. But, you know, again, when we look back at the history, the very short history of Europeans on this continent, it is just a trail of blood, a trail of blood and bodies. And, you know, if you would participate in, excuse me, genocide against a people, well, that just doesn't entail killing them. That also involves raping. That also involves torture. I mean, just some of the most sadistic, sick acts that one could come up with was being perpetrated in this country. Tying people to horses, one leg, two, you know, their legs and arms tied to four horses, and then their bodies just pulled apart. I think they call that quartering and whatnot. I mean, just sick, man. And so how can you call yourself a progressive pope, or people calling you a progressive pope, and then you come here and you canonize, you give this genocidal maniac sainthood? Something's wrong with you. Something is wrong with your value system. I don't know what your sense of morality is. Again, I've heard people use the excuse when they talk about George Washington, or what's the other, Thomas Jefferson. These were enslavers, people who enslaved human beings to make a profit off of their labor, and then also having sex with them. You know, your own personal harem. Again, the parallels to Islam, the depictions of Islam that we hear from right-wing people, and some of it's true, but we see it literally all throughout, you know, Christianity as well, and Catholicism. So I'm like, you know, here it is, 2015, other people are saying the same thing. They're pointing it out. Of course, the you know, descendants of victims of this vile man who was anointed a saint by Pope Francis, they're speaking out. But again, how is it in 2015, people can make excuses and say, oh, that was just, you know, the sign of the times. That was just acceptable back then. It was a different time then. And I have been able to research, speaking of the Catholic Church, there was a bishop, I think he attained bishophood, and he also was canonized, given sainthood. Man, his Hippo, Saint of Hippo, something like that. I can't remember his name, but I shared it on New Abolitionist Radio's Facebook page, because this guy was an abolitionist. He was a black priest and, you know, very influential in the Catholic Church. He was an African man. He was a black man, of mixed descent, mixed with some Berbers. I think his mother was a Berber, like, you know, those people that currently occupy Libya, not the Arabs, but the Berbers, right? Light skinned, you know, Africans. And so, but he was dark skinned. He considered himself an African, and he was an abolitionist. He wrote the Roman Empire. Emperor told him to pass a law to outlaw slavery and whatnot. So we're talking about centuries before George Washington and Thomas Jefferson showed up on the scene. So if abolitionism was existing, you know, back in whenever this bishop was around and saint of the Catholic Church, that tells you that slavery has never been acceptable to some people. There has always been a movement to abolish slavery. I would imagine since the first person was enslaved, their loved ones was wondering where they was at, and they was captured, and what they was like, trying to find them and trying to free them. That's abolitionism, right? They were against the enslavement. So I imagine as long as slavery been around, there's been abolitionists, people trying to escape it and all of that. So there's no excuse. There's no excuse for Pope Francis. We can't claim historical ignorance and he's supposed to be so smart and well-read and whatnot. In what universe is it okay to honor a racist suspect who participated in the genocide of non-white people, who oversaw that, to force people to give up their indigenous spiritual beliefs and convert to Catholicism, and if they don't, you kill them? And I'm sure you were just killing more than for them not converting. Also, you wanted to take the land. You wanted to take the land. So let's listen to this news clip of some indigenous people, American Indians, Native Americans, as they discuss Pope Francis' decision to canonize this guy, Junipero Serra.
Thank you. You heard about the canonization of Nicholas.
Yep, I think it's horribly tragic.
In my heart, I just feel that it's wrong.
It's outrageous. I do not agree with it. I think someone who caused untold misery and damage to people should not receive such an honor.
When I heard the news about the Pope wanting to convey sainthood on Junipero Serra, I was very upset and disappointed. I think that the history tells of a lot of the tragedy that came from the missions in California. Well, he was sent here in the late 1700s and helped establish and watched over missions being built in California. There was a lot of soldiers that were part of this this system. And Indian people were, once they were baptized, they couldn't leave the mission area. They were hunted down. They were kept from their foods. They weren't allowed to do their ceremonies. And as a result, there were many, many instances of mistreatment, including soldiers being whipping and killing people, and also young women and women were separated from their families.
We're seeing the results of that today in the more dysfunctional families in many cases, in the high drug and alcohol rate. We're seeing issues from the boarding schools, you know, where you're removed when you're little and never allowed to be part of your family. You lose whole generations of people. So you don't know how to be a parent. You don't know how to do life. You don't think you're worth anything.
My generation are a bunch of alcoholics. My son's generation are all suicidal. It's something that got perpetuated. It's a spirit, and it gets stronger every generation, it seems like, until somebody says, that's enough.
Father Serra might have been a good man, but the people, what they did in the missions, the women were raped. They had their language taken away from them. And it's wrong to glorify this man under whose watch it happened.
So there were a number of people speaking there, people of obvious American Indian descent, and there were white people speaking too. That last person you heard speaking, that was a white woman. And yeah, they are suffering. I'm looking at the, you know, and you can see the video. I'm looking at some of the people. I'm not sure if they are indigenous or if they're white people. But again, when you talk about the genocidal or the generational rape, okay, as you heard some of them speak on, and yeah, they were raping them in them boarding schools, and what do you think they was doing with them young women they were separating from their families? You know, the Pope was just talking to some of the survivors of the sexual deviancy going on in the Catholic Church today. So what do you think was going on back then? And so that's why a lot of these people have a lot of European features now. You can't even tell if they're white or what. They the descendants, descendants of victims, man. They are. Okay. And so, yeah, their blood has been tainted with the oppressor's blood through rape and violence and whatnot. But these people also suffer from, we hear this term in the African descendant communities, victims of slavery here, is we call it post-traumatic. They call it, not I, but they call it post-traumatic slave disorder. This is post-genocide slave disorder, whatever you want to call it, but it's not post. It's still ongoing. The oppression is still ongoing. There is no post-traumatic. Post means, if I'm understanding the word correctly or the term correctly, that means after your trauma. When your trauma is ongoing, it ain't no post-trauma traumatic event. You still living in under that oppression. The genocide may have slowed down just a bit, but it's still ongoing. It's still ongoing. So, you know, when you see in a lot of people, we don't talk about in terms of criminal justice, the indigenous reservations and whatnot. And they have a disproportionate incarceration rate, just like other non-white groups. And I'm telling you, man, people can try to deny it if they want to. I don't tell people who to work with, who not to work with. But I do see commonality in the struggle of all non-white people, especially, you know, connected here in America. So again, this is sick. This is sick. This points to, in the very least, it points to implicit bias of the Catholic Church. And I even heard Pope Francis lobbied for this guy. Because he, if you read some of the articles associated with this story, they have like a traditional way or procedures, protocols that one has to go through before they are even considered for sainthood, let alone be deemed a saint by the Catholic Church. And that Junipero, Serra, he jumped ahead of the process. He, you know, they waived it. So what was it about this guy that Pope Francis loved so much that he gave, you know, special privileges to the process, waiving this and waiving that? This is sick, man. This Pope is sick. Anybody with half a brain should be able to figure out that this was not cool. And so then, how can there ever be any kind of reconciliation? How can there be any kind of, we're all just Americans and we live together in this land and we got to work with each other, we got to help each other, and yet you steadily worshiping genocidal maniacs, killers, enslavers, colonizers, thieves, murderers? What kind of church infers sainthood on a murderer? On a mass murderer at that. And that's just one of the crimes that was being committed against these people. So, I mean, what do you think about this? I am not attacking any Catholics out there. I'm not attacking your faith. Your faith is what it is, as long as it's not oppressing me. But, you know, when these things come up, when you do things like that, it is the duty of counter-racists to point out the incorrectness of your behavior. Because obviously, you are not looking, when you look in the mirror, you don't see monsters. You don't see what your victims see. So, you know, counter-racist is up to us to put that mirror in front of their face. So, but I'm not, you know, this is not an attack on Catholic people and whatnot. People got to go through their own spiritual journeys and search for, you know, knowledge and truth. And, you know, I'm not going to say they're fools for this or fools for believing that, you know, cause like Malcolm X said at one time, I didn't know what I know. It's a journey. It's a process. But any right thinking, any person with any ounce of morality can look at this and say, hey, no, it's not cool to honor a person who has committed such crimes against humanity. That is, if you view their victims as humans, is that it? You still don't consider them to be humans. Again, you know, we got George Zimmerman, who I think is a Catholic, but man, ain't got nothing to do with it. But yeah, where he's, you know, tweeting the dead body, photos of the dead body of his victim, like a trophy. Sick people, man. This is sickness in this society, and there can be no reconciliation, no coming together, no unifying with people who worship or honor killers. I mean, that shouldn't even be up for debate. But if you want to debate the point, if you have a different observation that you would like to share, make sense of it for us, because I can't make sense of it except to say it is the nature of the beast to honor evil. Evil recognize evil. And that was perhaps a nod from this Pope to that evil murderous bastard, man. So anyway, you can give us a call, 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032#. Again, the phone number is 641-715-3660. Participant code 549032#. If you already dialed in, just hit *6 and 1. That'll signal me the host. You can use the web-based flash phone to also get in on the conversation. We got about 25 minutes left in the program. Don't wait to the last second. If you want to get your views out there, we're certainly interested in hearing them. But we are going to take a station identification break. We're actually overdue at the halfway point, so we're going to go ahead and take that now. You're listening to Black Talk Radio News. This is Scotty Reed broadcasting from behind the enemy lines of USA Inc.
This is Elliot Booker, host of Time for an Awakening Radio on the Black Talk Radio Network, speaking in behalf of the Black Talk Media Project's 2015 fundraiser. Since 2008, the Black Talk Media Project, which has created Black Talk Radio Network, has engaged in producing original content from a black perspective for the global black community. You can help us continue this mission and help us even more by giving donations to the Black Talk Media Project's 2015 fundraiser and asking others to do so also. Let us work together to make 2015 a stronger year for independent black media. Again, this is Elliot Booker of Time for Awakening Radio Program on the Black Talk Radio.
We have to begin to move to control our community. Everything that's in your community that you don't control is a weapon against you. Public education as it exists today is a weapon against black people. TV and news media, especially the WPP, White Power Press, White People's Paper, and White People's Power, are enemies against black people. What the white press does is that it makes black people an enemy of black people.
This is Ron Hayes with Hood News, and you're listening to the Black Talk Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Do you think that the white right wing is using the black militants to wage war against the black people in America?
Well, as I see it, that the full-scale war against us has been going on for some 400 years.
I mean, completely, wipe us out, the black people out. I mean, that they can open concentration camps, they can have justification of this knocking off the black ghetto, wiring it off, put troops around it. Right wing agitating that black
Panther
Mania, black militant group in that direction.
I don't really think that whether they're agitating or not, I won't say that they're not. But what they're putting themselves in for is quite a different thing. You see, in other words, as far as black people being slaughtered, we're slaughtered every day. And historically, 50 million black people were killed by the Middle Passage alone, according to Melvin J. Hershkovich. And this was an act of genocide, which is not talked about, and that the only thing people talk about is the plight of the Jews, where 6 million were killed. And when I state that 50 million black people were killed, just bring them to this country, no one understands this. But what I'm saying is that our real danger is not the Burchite or the Minutemen or some other fanatic. That our danger is really the people who wear the uniform of the establishment, dressed in the clothes of the military or the police department. They're strong enough to wipe us out. Not wipe us out. They're strong enough to inflict great harm upon the community. And this thing about the fanatics going around agitating, I don't think it will have a great consequence to the black community. The killing of little Bobby Hutton, our treasurer, was a matter of attempting to wipe out the leadership of the Panther, along with getting rid of Eldridge Cleaver because of his book, Soul on Ice,
that reveals many things about the corruption of the penal system. Not only the Black Panther Party, black people in general are in danger. As you would note, that in the community where the police ambushed the Panthers, that the police fired upon the community in general. They fired in people's homes where there might have been women and children. Matter of fact, I understand that a child was almost killed, and that it was a continuation of a traditional tactic, not only of the Oakland Police Department, but the police throughout the country. And an immediate end will have to be put to this, and I think that what's happening now is that the Black Panther Party is merely speeding up time, as we know that whenever a man becomes frantic and strikes wildly, that he's becoming very weak. He's striking out everyone in the world, and we know that he won't be able to engage the whole colored world into a war, and also fight a civil war here with the revolutionary people of America.
Welcome back to Black Talk Radio News. Scotty Reed in for this broadcast. Remember, the number to get in is 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549032 pound. Just hit *6 and 1 to comment on air. So, as I've been relaying information about the sainthood, about the Catholic Church conferred upon Junipero, Sarah, what Fox News, racist propaganda media, is putting out there is saying vandals have defaced a statue of Father Junipero Serra at the Carmel Mission, where the remains of the recently canonized missionary are buried, police said Sunday. It reminds me of the tomb of the founder, one of the founders of the Ku Klux Klan in Memphis, Tennessee. Recently, the Memphis City Council voted to evict the bones from the public park. Now, this is probably a course on Catholic property, so you're not going to be able to evict the bones of this mass murderer who facilitated so much crime and violence against the indigenous people of what the area now known as California. So these people, in righteous indignation, turned the damaged the statue and grave sites and signs and you know, use spray paint and whatnot, and some of the stuff, same stuff we've seen, and something that I do support because it falls under the term civil disobedience. We don't have to accept this just because the Catholic Church or just because you pass a law to say this is wrong. Well, it's wrong for you to be honoring racist white supremacists, Europeans who have participated in genocide and the enslavement and mass land theft. We don't have to respect that. And you shouldn't either if you was about justice, but you're not about justice. And what you're about is promoting injustice. This is the promotion of injustice. This is the promotion of genocide. Let's listen to this clip from Fox News. Again, this is a racist propaganda outlet, but let's hear their report. See what the enemy is saying about these people who went in. Participated in an act of civil disobedience at the gravesite of this killer. Give me just a second.
Father Junipero Serra was knocked over and covered in paint, just one of many we should mention, just days after Pope Francis canonized Junipero Serra as a saint. Critics of the Pope's decision say Serra mistreated Native Americans. That's one of the issues they have with all of this. William Lajeunesse is live with the very latest. William?
Well, Jenna, police call this a hate crime because the vandals only destroyed or desecrated the headstones of whites or Europeans, not Native Americans, which were nearby. So less than a week after reaching sainthood, suspects toppled the statue of Father Junipero Serra in the courtyard of the mission in Carmel, which is where the Franciscan priest settled in the late 1700s. Churchgoers had planned on celebrating his sainthood on Sunday. Instead, they spent the day cleaning up after these vandals splattered paint inside the basilica, knocked over statues, and scrawled Saint of Genocide on one of the headstones. Now, Pope Francis canonized Serra last week, despite critics who say that Serra enslaved Native Americans and suppress their culture when he helped Spain colonize California, establishing a network of missions from San Diego to San Francisco.
To the Native Americans here has been described by some people as genocide. The Native American population in the century, I guess, after the Spanish colonization probably went from 300,000 down to 5 or 10,000.
But Pope Francis defended Serra, saying that the friar sought to defend the dignity of Native Americans. Police are reviewing surveillance video to identify the culprits. Now, security guards were supposed to have been at the mission overnight, so Jenna, it is unclear how this vandalism went unnoticed until Sunday morning. They have asked experts to come in and artisans to help clean up and repair the damage that was done.
And rightfully so, rightfully so. But check this out, though. See how they, H.R.A.P. Brown, they lost, keep us down. We are neither morally or legally, all right, obligated to respect their laws, because their laws keep us down. So anyway, think of this now. The audacity of the police to label this a hate crime. Because only the statues of rapists and murderers and land thieves and you know, just all kind of vile acts against crimes against humanity. You know, they only target the statues of those people. So this is a hate crime. Think about that. Of course, they're going to point out that these people are European. That's inconsequential. I mean, yeah, it is funny how Europeans are always coming up when we talk about just mass destruction, mass violence. That says something about their culture, you know, about whose culture is really based on savagery and barbarity and whatnot. But again, they will pass laws, people, even black people, non-white people, lobby for these hate crime laws. And you look at how the pig police is now trying to use that law, use those laws to use them against, you know, the people that the laws we were told were supposed to protect us, you know, from vicious acts of violence. Vicious acts of, you know, hate. I mean, you can't get any more vicious, you can't get any more hateful than what these Spaniards, these Europeans did to the indigenous people of California. You just can't get more hateful than that. So for you, again, is something wrong with these people morally, spiritually? What is wrong with these people? Is it psychological? Is it physiology? What is going on? Again, I'd like to recruit Dr. Ben Carson, the noted brain surgeon and neuroscientist. I would like to recruit him to do a study. Let's see if there is actually a racism chip in certain people's brains that can be turned off. Let's study that. That'll be a better use of your time and talents than you running for CEO of America, Mr. Carson. But of course, we got to get Mr. Carson. He does acknowledge that racism does exist, but he minimizes it. We, you know, got to show him that, you know, racism is a serious problem, and you got these talents, you know. I don't see you being elected the next CEO of America. I don't care what polls say. But, you know, you could do this in your spare time. We'll even do like a GoFundMe or something to raise the money for your study. Because, I mean, how do you explain this? Now, again, people will say, well, that's just how it was back then. This was in the 1700s. It was a different time period then. And we didn't know that these was human beings, even though they had five fingers and toes and two arms and two legs and a head and eyes and mouths and hair. And, you know, we didn't know that they were humans. We thought they were, you know, a form of animal. So we have to excuse that. They'll make excuses for that. Okay, you can make excuses for that, but then you want to honor it. You want to honor it. That's what you're doing. That's why shouldn't a single victim of this system ever be pledging allegiance to a flag, standing up with your hand over your heart, talking about some liberty and justice for all, because that we don't have that. We have the opposite of that. This corporation has never stood for that. It has always stood for racism and white supremacy that benefits white males primarily. Now it's morphing and, you know, it's including white females, but I don't have the answers, people. I don't know. Could it be that some of these people, based on the science, have, you know, their descendants? They also are the descendants of Neanderthals. You know, when the humans came out of Africa and they encountered these Neanderthals in the Caucasus Mountains and other, as they was, you know, migrating across this planet, going into Europe, and there was some mating going on between humans and Neanderthals, and most Europeans have that Neanderthal gene. I heard the same about Asians as well. They are descendants of Neanderthals, what people commonly refer to as cavemen. They got wiped out, got pushed out, got gentrified. So does that have something to do with it? Is there some primal part of their makeup, their biological makeup, that gives them a propensity for violence? And is that why humans wiped out the Neanderthals, because they were so violent? I don't know. I don't have all the answers. But these are things that I think about. And how far can the human race say it has come when you are still celebrating people of such low repute? How can you teach your child or allow your child to be taught that George Washington was an honorable man, the founder of a nation? They did great things. How can you talk about Thomas Jefferson, the writer of the Declaration of Independence, author of that, and, you know, he was so enlightened on freedom and liberty and all that, but he enslaving people. He actually was having sex with his wife's half-sister, who was the daughter of an enslaved African, by Thomas Jefferson's wife's father, his father-in-law. So he buys her half-sister, half-negress sister. He's married to her and having sex with the other one. That's like, man, these are sick people, man. These are vile people. And this is how you hold up to your children the standard, you know. This is the standard. This is what humans should aspire to be. And then most of it is based on a lie. This nation built on top of the Mississippian nation that was already here, with trading routes and cities and villages and stuff already built. Your Constitution follows the Federation of the Iroquois Nation, as well as the Mississippian nation, which had a political class, had a religious class, had a working class. These are the things that are not taught to people here in America. And so, ignorance, man, ignorance is very deadly. Ignorance is very deadly. It's just unacceptable to me. And then to act like these people who desecrated this monument to a person involved in their genocide, like they did something wrong. See, we live in an opposite world. I think in the Superman comic books, they say it's bizarre world where good is bad and bad is good and evil. It's looked upon as an honorable trait. What a sick society we live in. It's no wonder that the United States finds itself in the condition that it is today, with violence all across this land, citizen on citizen violence, police on citizen violence, U.S. Military bases all over the world U.S. soldiers deployed all over the world, engaged in covert wars, funding of terrorism in the Middle East, practicing 21st century slavery, never abolished, just lied and said you did when you really only amended it. I know a lot of people, they don't want to hear that, man, but it needs to be heard. You need to acknowledge that, because there is no moving forward. We will constantly be in conflict with each other if we don't acknowledge the crimes of the past and obliterate all monuments, all statutes, all recognition conferred upon evil people who did evil deeds. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. It is that simple. You either believe in justice or you believe in injustice. There is no in between. There is no, yeah, he killed a whole lot of Indians, but yeah, he facilitated the enslavement of these people, but he stole children from their families and oversaw a system that put them in boarding schools, that stripped them of their language, stripped them of their culture, stripped them from their family structure. But ain't no but. What but? The only but that you can come up with is he set up a missionary system that brought great wealth to the Catholic Church. That's why he's being honored. And I'm going to say this before I get ready to get off these airways. It doesn't surprise me that this Pope is the one to honor this man. And I see the phone caller, I'm going to come to you. It doesn't surprise me because this Pope, he talked about immigration, did he not? And he said he was an immigrant himself, did he not? Well, he was known as, what was it, Bishop Ratzinger or something like that. I forget his first name. A German, right? He was a German, right? They got pictures of him as a Hitler Youth, right? So if he was a Hitler Youth, if he was in that organization for youth set up by the Nazi Party, then it stands to reason that his parents were Nazis, that they were members of the Nazi Party. So he says that he's an immigrant. Well, where did he immigrate to? He immigrated to Argentina, right? Right? So that means that his parents immigrated, brought him. So his lots of Nazis after World War II, if they weren't brought here to America to work in NASA and for, you know, the military, the ones that were being hunted down as war criminals or whatnot, they left and they went to South America. Argentina's in South America, so therefore he's an immigrant in Argentina. That's what he was saying. So certainly, you know, it shouldn't be surprising to anyone that a former Nazi youth would think it's appropriate to honor another man that has engaged in genocide. Let me go to the phone. Area code 650, you're on Black Talk Radio News. Go ahead with your question or comment.
How you doing?
I'm doing as well as can be expected behind these enemy lines, but what's on your mind?
Did you see the sister they grabbed in Atlanta?
Yeah, I plan on talking about that tomorrow. YouTube? Yeah, I plan on talking about that during tomorrow's program, but yes, I saw it.
And did you see how they the other guy did the same thing she did from Texas, the white dude?
The other guard.
The white guy out of Texas.
Oh, when yeah.
He made the same, like, similar YouTube that she did.
Yes, I saw that as well.
But he didn't get arrested.
Right. Of course he didn't. He's a white supremacist. She's not a white supremacist, so she can't act like
right.
She can't do the things that they do. Now, a black person can do those things like David Clark, Sheriff David Clark up there in Wisconsin.
Yeah. Yeah.
He can get on national TV and say Black Lives Matter is scum and they need to be exterminated, and he won't be arrested.
He's a coon.
Because he can talk about, you can talk about exterminating black people, you can talk about killing black people, you can talk about doing anything you want to do to black people and not be arrested for it.
And one more thing. Everybody talking about the black on black, you know, killings and all that. When a brother kill another brother, you get life, man.
Yeah, they do.
I ain't seen a cop get life yet.
right. The most I've seen one get was 5 years.
So let's stop with the black on black hate, because that's really just pushing more hate, man.
I agree. It's a myth.
Black lives do matter, man.
Most certainly. So I hope that you will tune in tomorrow, where we'll go more in depth about that sister's case.
What's on?
We air at 4 o'clock p.m. Eastern time.
Okay.
So make sure you tune in. We will talk about that.
I sure will. And thank you for the show, brother. I love everything you're doing, and I will make a donation as soon as possible.
All right. Well, we appreciate that, and you have a great day.
You too.
All right. So, we come to the end of the broadcast. Again, I'm only on an hour as I work to upgrade the website and make these tutorials. I'm still so excited that now we can host our own podcast and even provide podcasting services to our people and whatnot. And so I want to, stay on top of that. But Tando Radio Show will be live today. Brother Dave will be coming on at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. So, of course, when we're not live streaming, we're always running pre-recorded podcasts from our previous broadcast. So, and other message music and other things. So it's always something to listen to on the station, Black Talk Radio Network, New Black Media for the New Millennium. So we hope that you will keep it locked. But again, Tando Radio Show is coming up at 6 o'clock p.m. Oh, we got another caller. Let me grab this caller before we get off air. Area code 347. Thank you for chiming in. Go ahead with your question and comment.
Hey, what's up, Scotty? How are you today, bro? This is Thomas Smith from New York.
I'm surviving behind these enemy lines, Brother Thomas.
We in the same club then. I just wanted to know if you saw that they only gave this lady 2 years for letting those two white dudes out of prison.
Up there in New York where they escaped from the prison and she helped them.
Yeah, 2 years. I said, man, get out of here.
That's crazy, man. But again, this is a white woman, right?
Exactly.
There you go. There's your answer right there. Why she only got 2 years for helping convicted murderers escape to put the public at risk. And, and I think
the judge told her it's what, $26 million in overtime is how much this costs. Just $26 million in overtime day to day. Just alone.
Cost the taxpayers.
And they're only giving her $120,000 of restitution.
Mm-mm-mm.
I said, this is crazy, man. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. That's all I had to say, Scotty, man. Great show.
All right. Thank you for that report. Thank you for that report. Again, I'll talk about this more tomorrow. And, I like what happened to the sister yesterday. I tagged my daughters in it. This is why you don't go to the internet and talk about you about that life. If you ain't about that life, and if you even are about that life, why would you put that life on Facebook? When we know that they spy on us 24/7, CIA, FBI, local police, they always looking for some reason to come in and enslave us. So we can't be making it easy for them. I understand people get frustrated, people get emotional, but you're not supposed to let those things cause you to do something, to make a mistake that's going to cost you dearly. Now, if I was her, and I'll again talk about this more tomorrow, I'll be pleading temporary insanity. I'll be pleading I'm a victim of racism, and I was under all this pressure, and I'm seeing all these black people get gunned down, and this young man in this area that I live was killed and murdered. All right, killed and murdered, and we know who did it because this black man was having sex with his daughter and whatnot. So, I'm tired of seeing this. So it's open season on white people. See, you can't say those things on the internet. You can't make videos and post those up there. So I'll talk about that. I understand it. But now look at the situation. Look at the situation now. So we'll talk about more about that. We will look at the situation. And again, we are not white racists, and we can't expect to be treated in the same way that white people are treated. Again, 2 years, you let a mass murderer out of prison. You helped him. People could have been killed. I know they had a shootout with some of the people that was looking for him, law enforcement officers. And you only get 2 years And you cost the state millions of dollars, taxpayers millions of dollars. See, man, ain't no justice. It's just us, as Richard Pryor said, man. So anyway, we will be back on air tomorrow. Again, Tando Radio Show is coming up at 6 o'clock. He will be talking about finances as he looks at the financial news and tries to share information to help people get prepared for hard times from reading the financial tea leaves. So make sure y'all check out Tando Radio Show today. And make sure that you recognize the fact that you live behind enemy lines. It's a battlefield out there. Casualties are being created every day. These people don't see you as human beings. They see you as less than. And they won't hesitate to take your life, or even worse yet, put you in a lifetime of enslavement. So they can make profit off of you, whether you working or not, or you just sitting in a cell in solitary confinement as your brain deteriorates. All right. So recognize these things, develop codification so that you don't make it easy for them to target you and come in and snatch you up. All right. Recognize those things and develop that battlefield awareness. There's no guarantee that you won't become a victim, but you can certainly lessen the likelihood that you will become a victim. So again, until tomorrow, peace and blessings to all.
Center Police Department, lines being recorded.
Now let's put it all in perspective before the outrage burns out misdirected. What can we do so our community protected? I believe that should be our main objective. While we full of rage and we want to make a difference, let's do more than protest. Let's make a commitment to be proactive, not just emotional reactive. Move like G, never passive. Organize, stay team, martial arts classes. Get to the gun range and make your aim active. Self-defense is a must by any tactics. Security protocol, make it a daily practice. They say I look suspicious.